Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Also, you can hear these radio sermons as well as the sermons that are presented at the East Abbotville Church of Christ on our website. Also, there are numerous Bible articles and Bible subjects that you can study, along with a Bible correspondence course that you can take in the privacy of your home. Also, on Sundays, you can stream the services of the East Abbotville Church of Christ. And also, on our website, we have a place where you can give us your email address and receive a biweekly bulletin that we email. So all of this is available at www.eastalbertville.org. Also, we'll be reminded that tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, both AM and FM, Patrick Donahue will host Bible Crossfire. This is a live call-in radio program. If you have a Bible question, you can call. He'll give you a phone number and speak to him directly. Give him your Bible question, and in return, expect only a Bible answer for it. That's tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, both AM and FM. And if you happen to be out of range and our satellite radio have capability, you can tune in to XM Satellite Radio Channel 131 at the same time, 8 o'clock, and hear Bible Crossfire. There's a song in most of our songbooks that has the words, "I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with him forever in glory by and by." Personally, I have never really been a big fan of that song, because to me, it seems like we're saying that this earth is where I want to be, but if I have to go to heaven, I will. I doubt that was the sentiment of the person that wrote the words, but it is the attitude of many people. The sad truth is that many people don't long for heaven. The prosperity gospel that we have in such abundance today is living proof. Most of the preachers on television preach this prosperity gospel, this health and wealth gospel. Many on the radio stations are guilty of the same. And so these popular preachers, they promise a prosperous, pain-free existence. Well, you know, if this was the case, why would anyone want to go to heaven? In fact, as the title of a best-selling book suggested, your best life is now. Is that right? No, my friends, that's wrong. If our best life is now, then why are we referred to as sojourners and exiles? Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh which war against the soul." You see, if this earth, is where we belong, then why did Paul by inspiration, penned the words in Philippians 1 and verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, the fact is, this world is not our home. There's something better that awaits us. What I want us to do in our time together today is to look at 10 things that we know about heaven. And if we can be made aware of these, if we have not been aware of them, or if we can be reminded of these things in case we have forgotten, then maybe we will be helped to want to go to that place. So, 10 things that we need to know about heaven. Heaven is great because God is there. It's in Matthew 5, verse 16, that we see, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, we have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. In verse 9 of chapter 6, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's in chapter 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more should your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And one other one, verse 21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Heaven is great because God is there. And hell is agonizing because of the very opposite of that, the absence of God. Notice in Matthew chapter 25, the words that we read beginning with verse 41. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, and the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You see, on the other hand, heaven is awesome because of God's presence. So our primary motivation should not be a mansion on the hilltop or the street that's paved with gold, but rather a life that's spent in the presence of our Creator. A second thing that we need to know about heaven. Heaven is great because Christ is there. Notice in the 16th chapter of the book of Mark, here's what we read in verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. It's also in Ephesians. We read these words in Ephesians chapter 1. Notice verse 20. He says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. See, from time to time, we hear stories about individuals who tracked down the person who saved their life. That person wants to meet the one that made such a sacrifice. Well, let us understand Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. In Romans chapter 5, we find in verse 8 these words, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the question, don't we want to be with him? He saved our lives in more ways than one, not just a physical life. He saved us from spiritual death and from spiritual damnation in hell. A third thing that we need to know about heaven. Heaven is great because other believers are there. This we read in Hebrews the 11th chapter. Notice verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. So not only do we read about Moses, but we read about a host of people here in Hebrews 11. And when we read then in chapter 12, notice what we read in that chapter, verse 23. It says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. So there will be that general assembly that's spoken of. Being able to worship God with others is, and here on earth, just to be able to worship with fellow Christians, how encouraging that is. But surely, think about how this will all take on a new meaning in heaven. Our worship together here is just a very small taste of what heaven will be like. A fourth thing that we need to know about heaven. Heaven is great because it's where we belong. In Philippians chapter 3, here's what we read in verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we don't feel a little bit out of place here in this world, something's wrong. This world is not where a Christian belongs. Heaven is. Another thing that we need to know about heaven. Heaven is great because we will receive a new body. In Philippians chapter 3, notice verse 21. It says, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. You know, although our physical body is designed perfectly, it is not a permanent dwelling. Aches and pains multiply as the years start stacking up. But the good news is, this is referred to in the scriptures as just a temporary tent. We read about that in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Notice the very first verse. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So it is then. It's like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. One day we will receive a body that does not decay. That truly is one of the things that should make heaven the place that we want to go, knowing that we will receive a new body. But also, another reason we need to know about heaven, another thing we need to know about heaven, is that heaven is great because it never deteriorates. Jesus expressed this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Notice what we read, verse 20. He had just stated in verse 19, "Do not lay for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." But notice he says in verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break through and steal." There's another interesting statement that's made over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice what we read, verse 25. In talking about the races that are ran in order to obtain a trophy or a prize, he compares that to the life of a Christian. And so here's what it says in verse 25. "Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." Friends, heaven is great because it never perishes. It never becomes incorruptible. And in fact, to add to what we've done read, look what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. He says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." You know, I'm amazed at these religious groups that teaches that we're not going to heaven. Only a select group of 144,000 are going to heaven. And the rest of us are going to just have to live here on what's considered and called to be a paradise earth. Friends, my hope is not on this earth. My treasure, my incorruptible crown, my inheritance that Peter is talking about is the one that I want, the one that's incorruptible, the one that's undefiled, the one that does not fade away. And where is it? On this earth? No. Reserved in heaven for you. And I had much rather take the words of Jesus than the words of some religious group. For instance, the words of Jesus in Matthew 5 and verse 11. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Now listen, "for great is your reward in heaven." That's where the reward is, friends. It's not here on this earth. That's why we need to long for heaven. And that's what we must know about heaven, that it's great. Because it never deteriorates. You know, everything here rusts and decays. And given enough time, anything will fall apart. That's not so with heaven. Because its splendor is eternal. A seventh thing that we need to know about heaven. Heaven is great because there is no discomfort there. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 4, "God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." How much of our life is spent in pursuing comfort? You know, most likely more than we realize. We go to the doctor so that we can have a comfortable physical life. We have insurance so that we can have a comfortable physical life. We buy our Lazy Boys and our comfort couches and make sure to have the thermostat set just right. But try as we may, we never find true comfort here. And yes, that's in spite of all of what these televangelists and these popular preachers are trying to tell us about health and wealth that we can have here on this earth. Friends, we will never find true comfort here. Another thing that we need to know about heaven. Heaven is great because its beauty, it's incomparable. While we're here in Revelation 21, let's drop on down from where we were in verse 4 to verse 18. It says the construction of its walls were of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. On down to verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. You know, the majesty of the mountains that we're able to see around us, and the beautiful glimpses of the sunset that we so often get and so often, you know, attract our attention that we just can't but just stand there and look at the beauty of the sun as it's setting. Friends, none of that is to be compared to the beauty of heaven. It will be unlike anything that your and my human eye has ever seen. A ninth thing that we need to know about heaven. Heaven is great because there's no darkness there. Again, in Revelation 21, let's look at verse 23. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Now, that's the description that we have of heaven. But when we read, as the Bible reveals to us, things about hell, hell is described as just the exact opposite. In fact, it's described as a place of utter darkness. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25. It's there in verse 30. Jesus says, "Cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Peter also, the Holy Spirit had him by inspiration to speak these words in 2 Peter chapter 2. Notice verse 17. "These are wells without water, clouds carried about by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." I don't think we can really and truly conceive, imagine what outer darkness is, or like what Peter describes here, the blackness of darkness. Heaven is described as a place of light. And you know, if you're like me, and I think most people are, people don't like to live in darkness. You know, it would be hard for me to live in Alaska because I understand that there are several months there that the sun never rises, that it's darkness during the wintertime. No, we want light. Well, friends, for what we see here, the Lord illuminates heaven. And then too, heaven is great because there's no evil there. Again, in Revelation chapter 21, let's now note verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Friends, this world is a difficult place to live because of Satan's influence. He is the father of lies, and through him, sin and pain entered the world back in Genesis chapter 3. Satan, his people, and his influence, from what we've read here in Revelation 21 and verse 27, will not be in heaven. Friends, those are the 10 things that we need to know about heaven. And I trust that if we know them, it will help us to long for that place. Help us to long to go there. You know, there's a country song that has the words, "If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, then I don't want to go." Well, you and I, we're living in Dixie. And I can tell you this, heaven will be far superior. I'm looking forward to the time when my allotted days, as that song we mentioned in the beginning, when my allotted days are up. How about you? Friends, we hope that this study has helped us to think about heaven. I don't think we think about it near as often as we should. I know people of the world don't. And I'm afraid that those that profess themselves to be Christians don't. There's so much that's going on in our lives and our world that we live in that we find it increasingly difficult to think about spiritual things. And one of those spiritual things that we find it difficult to think about is what we've studied about on the program today, heaven. Let us want to go to heaven. But the only way we're ever going to want to go is to be reminding ourselves of what heaven is. Of what is it that makes heaven the great place that should cause us to want to go there. And the only way that we're going to go there is to not be in that same category of those that defile, those that causes an abomination, or those that lie. Abominations are things that are contrary to God's will. Abominations are things that God hates. No, friends, we have to purify our lives in order to go to heaven for that very simple reason that we've read. None of those things will be in heaven, only those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do we have our names written in that Lamb's Book of Life? Well, we do that by obeying God's will. We obey God's will by turning to His Word, because His Word is the revelation of His will. The Holy Spirit revealed to the apostles and prophets the mind of God, the will of God, what God wants us to do. So in reading His Word, we can understand and come to a realization that God is, that Christ is the Son of God, and that He came into this world sent by the Father to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to save us from our sins, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. Sin is a transgression of God's law. 1 John 3 and verse 4. We all sin. We're all lost. Hell is awaiting us if we die in that condition. We must hear His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. We must repent of our sins, for Jesus said, except you repent, you will perish, Luke 13, 3. We must confess, because Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And Romans 10 and verse 10 says, that it's with the heart man believes unto righteousness, it's with the mouth that confession is made. So we confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart as a result of our understanding God's word, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we must be willing to be buried with Christ in baptism. To be buried with Christ is to come in contact with the blood that Jesus shed in His death. We are saved by the blood of Christ. We have our sins washed away in the blood of Christ, but that happens only when we are buried with Him in baptism. Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. We can then have our names written in that Lamb's Book of Life, and heaven can be our home when this life is over. We see our time is gone, and 30 minutes from now, come and be with us at the East Albertville Church of Christ. We will have Bible classes at 10:30. We will have a worship period. Come, bring your Bibles, bring your family, and study with us and do the things only that we find authorized in God's Word. We appreciate you listening. It's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.